Hello and welcome to the programme. Elections in Europe are a roller coaster these days. EU elites were relieved when the pro-EU camp won the parliamentary vote in Moldova, but the Czech legislative election, not so much. Andrej Babiš, a populist and self-proclaimed Trumpist, won the ballot, staging a comeback similar to his colleague in neighbouring Slovakia, Robert Fico. Babiš's victory is clearly a boon to Eurosceptic forces. After all, it was Babiš who, together with Hungary's leader Viktor Orbán, set up the Patriots for Europe group here in the European Parliament. But does his win have an impact on the EU's policy towards Ukraine and on dealing with a more assertive Kremlin, which seems to be testing Europe with drone incursions? Well, to discuss all this, I'm joined by two MEPs. Jaroslav Bžoch is a Czech MEP from the Patriots, and he's a member of ANO, the same party as Andrej Babiš. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
And I'm also here with Riho Terra, an Estonian MEP from the European People's Party. He's the former commander of the Estonian Defence Forces and obviously has a lot to say about those drone incursions. Riho Terras, welcome to you as well. Let's start with you. What trends do you see when you look at Romania, Poland and now the Czech Republic in terms of this populist rise?
It surprises me that people are surprised. Russia has used all the toolbox of different means to test Europe already much longer than just recent weeks and months. This is the testing mapping of what we do, what capabilities we have. And this is not hybrid, because how can you call three MiG-31s who violate the airspace and hybrid threat? It's classical military threat, which has been handled by NATO, this time, in my opinion, very well. But still, we need to understand that Russia is testing us in order to be sure that it is able to launch or wage a war against Europe pretty soon. So for me, it is very clear we need to be prepared, we need to show the unity and strength, and we need to invest.
Your reaction to that, Jaroslav Bžoch?
I can say we are definitely not any pro-Russian force, because and I have many things to say about that, because last government, when we are where we were involved, so we were one of the first countries to get on the list of the enemies of Russia. During our government, we almost dismissed the whole embassy, Russian embassy in Prague. So if someone these days calling us pro-Russian, for me, it's a nonsense. So, but I understand the worrying words what my colleagues just mentioned. Because, like, for example, those MiGs in our airspace, that's a threat, obviously, and everyone knows that. That's a threat.
But at the same time, the future Prime Minister, Mr. Babiš, he's said that he wants to end this ammunition program for Ukraine, which has been actually very key in helping Ukraine since 2024. That's, I think, why people here are saying that he's moving more sort of in a Putin-friendly direction.
No, definitely not. We are not definitely moving to pro-Putin or being more friendly with Putin. It's not happening. The ammunition initiative, it's a little bit different. We don't want to finish it or end it. But we just like if, for example, some offices in NATO can handle it, because for us as a Czech Republic, I also talk about the with people from the Ministry of Defense, and it's quite hard for them and being as a Czech Republic to coordinate it. So it's a great initiative. It started already, and now we should handle it in a different form, because also we are seeing that some people are gaining lots of money, which should be in more pro-Ukraine than to being in the pockets of some businesses.
Do you see this new direction by the Czech Republic now in the light of the election result?
First of all, it's important to say that the basis of democracy is elections, and people elect their governments. And that, as far as I know, they don't have a government yet. So we're already discussing how bad the government is, which does not exist. So it's too early. I trust my very good friend Petr Pavel, whom I worked together 10 years, almost 10 years together, that he, as a president of Czech Republic, will give possible guidelines about the military threat and what threat poses the situation when Ukraine is losing the war. Because then imagine that Ukraine will be taken over by Russian forces, and we will have two war-experienced big forces against our own NATO European Union forces. So we need to help them with all possible means. How the administration is, I agree with you, it needs to be done by NATO, in my opinion also, but we need to support, we need to increase significantly support to Ukraine in order to allow Ukraine to win.
But do you think the likely coalition partners for ANO, they're going to be pulling in a much more Ukraine-skeptic direction, particularly the Freedom Party, the SPD?
Yeah, it could happen. But that's what the negotiation now about, because we don't have the government yet. We don't have the agreement yet. And I'm pretty sure that that's going to be part of the discussion. But for us, it's clear. We know that Russia is the aggressor. Ukraine is the country that's defending themselves. And we need to help them. And we are actually supporting what the European Union is doing and helping Ukraine. So it's going to be part of the discussion. But on the other hand, it's not going to happen that anyone from Czech government will praise Russia for doing this what they're doing.
Was there, as has been suggested by investigative journalists in the Czech Republic, a major disinformation campaign in this election? Because they were saying that there was a lot of echoing of Russian state media in alternative media in the Czech Republic.
There were statements about that, but mainly the Russian focus was on SPD. And Stachilo, the communist and socialist who are not in the parliament anymore. And if I may joke about it a little bit, even if I know that it's really a really harsh topic, but they did a really bad job because all those parties were losing the seats. So in Czech Republic, I'm pretty sure that the democracy is working pretty well. And not just the democracy, but also our secret services doing a great job in this case.
I want to come back to the whole drone question with Yuri Oteras, because you actually called for urgent action when a drone crashed in Estonia in August. So it was before the EU really woke up to the whole issue in September with the incursions in Poland. What is that urgent action? What should it be? And do you think the EU is actually going to agree? Because there are some quite big differences, aren't there, on this so-called drone wall that's being proposed?
I have anyway big question mark with these wake-up calls. I mean, the wake-up calls 2008, 2014, etc. You cannot wake a coma patient. You need to do something else.
I agree.
So that is what we need to do. And especially the drone question is so new that we need to develop new technologies. And the European Union, European Defence Fund, could be one tool to help countries to develop necessary technologies to deal with a drone threat. We need to identify them. We need to then visually identify this, whether it is a drone or not, which is very difficult because the normal radars do not work. And then we have to neutralize, eliminate whatever means we have. And today we're shooting them down with a €500,000 missiles, and the drones cost 500 to 5,000 euros. So it is not proportionate. But the biggest problem is the administrative problem, because these drones are flying somewhere in the peacetime airspace where the police is responsible. In some countries like Germany, it's not even a federal police. It's a task of the regional police force. Mm. And how can we deal with a threat? It's one drone, it's easy. But if it's through 3 or 21 or whatever, 18 we had in Poland, then... And therefore, regulations from the European side are important, and financing the new technologies is important. These two things.
Your thoughts on that, on how unprepared Europe actually is for this?
I can agree mostly what my colleague just mentioned. The thing is that even when we have that found, it doesn't help that much because, for example, when we see the drones, and we had the allegations also in Czech Republic that there are drones around the airport, we need to react fast. And Europe is known that it's not fast reacting for those kind of threats. So definitely, if it comes to the laws and legislation, if we do it back home, we do our own homeworks to create that kind of laws that can help to react against the drones, then it'll be perfect. And I agree with that. It's a threat, and we need to solve it. But European Union and the decision making here. It takes quite time. So, and we need, the threats are here. So we need to react way more faster.
Yeah, everything you said suggests that the EU is just not really able to respond very fast to this because of all the different layers, like you said, regional police, for example, that has to get involved.
Yeah, but EU is, there's not an EU who starts to shoot down the drones.
Yeah.
But what is EU capable of doing is to bring people around the table to find out how we will deal with the cross-border violations where a drone flies from one European country to another. What is the regulation there?
Yeah.
And how we will improve our technologies. I mean, we are, if everybody on itself tries to work out something, that will not help. We need to learn from Ukraine. We need to look what Ukraine is doing. And then, if necessary, copy or improve what they do on our own, with our own money, and very quickly, and with much more money.
Just one final point with you, because we're really running out of time now. But, of course, Andrei Babiš has promised this Czechs first agenda, kind of an echo of America first. Do you think that's going to be another thorn in the side of Brussels after Robert Fico and Viktor Orban? Is this going to be a big problem for the rest of the EU?
No, I don't think so. We are not in the same situation, for example, as Slovakia. And we were always pro-European party. And even our government, the last 8 years when we were in the government, we were really pro-European. The Czech first means that even though when there are legislation here, when we have talks about any topics, that we probably gonna be a little bit harder on the EU Commission and during the councils than the previous government.
All right, we'll stop there. Thank you so much to both of my guests, Rio Teras and Jaroslav Bžoch. That's all for this episode of Talking Europe. Glad you could join us.